Ashes, I'm just going to pause on the offering bags. If you've got something to give this morning, just give in thanksgiving. I just sense you to just thank the Lord for this year. Richard, can we maybe turn these off, these monitors? It's quite distracting for me. So let's just thank the Lord this morning, amen, for just His faithfulness in our lives. So wonderful to have you. So wonderful to have you in the house of the Lord this morning.
Who's excited to be here this morning? Who's excited for holidays? Are some people going on holiday sometime? Or I don't know about you, but I'm very excited. We're leaving just now for the farm. See, my brother farms with sheep, and I farm with a different type of sheep. So I think my brother's got the difficult sheep. The Karoo sheep are very difficult, but the Bloemfontein people are awesome. Okay. It's wonderful to be with you this morning. I'm so excited for this word. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We're just going to read a little passage together. And then I want to leave you with something this morning. Amen. I just want to leave you with a thought, and just that you can go with this word into these December holidays or whatever. Maybe some of you are working, but I just trust that you will realize that you have been called to bring good news. Amen. The good news of the gospel. Specifically, the Bible talks about the gospel of peace. Amen. Isn't it amazing that we have a gospel that's not so complicated? It's actually just the gospel of peace. And so this morning I want to talk about everlasting peace. Turn to someone next to you and say, everlasting peace. It's so exciting. The word of God is powerful. It's able to change our lives. Amen. Do you believe that this morning, that the word can change you? And on that day, when evening had come, reading from the ESV, verse 35, he said to them, this is Jesus, now let us go across to the other side. It sounds like Jesus' life, you know, let us go, let us go, let us go. Jesus was on the move, and he's always going, and he's always on an adventure. And so he says to his disciples, time is finished, yeah, let's go, let's cross over to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Quite interesting. Jesus isn't so complicated. And the disciples just left the crowd and they took him in the boat. They said, okay, Jesus, we're going to go in a boat. That's how we're going to go. And it's amazing. The writer says, just as he was. Didn't dress himself in any fancy way. Didn't, you know, say anything more. It was just as he was. The disciples took him with them in the boat. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Sounds a bit like life, doesn't it? Sometimes our boats get rocked because there's sometimes many storms and waves breaking into our boats many times. That's just how life is. But it's interesting that Jesus seemed to be so at peace. He was so at peace that he was sleeping amidst this amazing storm. I don't know how he did it. But it says he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. He had a few comforts as well. He had a cushion with him. It must have been such an amazing deep sleep that he was in. So much so that the storm didn't awake him, but the disciples awoke him and they said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Turn to someone next to you and say, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and they said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want to focus this morning just on that place where Jesus just says, peace, be still. Because I think you can take this passage and do a lot of things with it, and we can psych ourselves up and say, you know, why don't we have so much faith? And why don't we, you know, why are we so fearful? And we're supposed to be these people of faith and all of this. And And I guess you can do it like that, but I believe none of us have got enough faith to do what Jesus has done. I believe Jesus has done it for us. I mean, Jesus has calmed the storms. And if we don't understand, if we try to psych ourselves up and have more faith and try and calm the storms in our lives, we're just going to get into more and more condemnation. And this morning, I just want us to see Jesus this morning as the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the one who brings peace to every storm. Doesn't matter how you're feeling this morning. Doesn't matter how your year has been. I just want you to see Jesus this morning and seeing Him saying to your storm or just to your life, peace. Be still. Amen. Such good news this morning. The gospel of peace. Just want to read a little story here. Long ago, a man sought the perfect picture of peace. Not finding one that satisfied, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. So think about it now. There's this guy, an artist. He wants someone to paint this perfect picture of peace. And so the challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere. I don't know, do we have any artists in the house here? Anyone who's excited about painting or drawing or creative stuff? But I'm sure maybe I can give this challenge to you. Paint a picture of perfect peace. And so all the artists were excited and they arrived from far and wide and the great day of the revelation arrived and the judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another while the viewers clapped and cheered. The tensions grew and only two pictures remained veiled. As a judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd because it was like this picture of a mirror, smooth lake, reflecting lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this must have been the winner. The man with the vision uncovered the second painting himself. And the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? The picture was as follows. It was this massive waterfall cascading down this rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating sprays. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. And in the midst of all the thundering noises and the bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. Out of one of its branches reached out in front of the torrential water. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience its amazing power. And then on this picture was this little bird nestled in the elbow of this branch. It was content and undisturbed in the stormy surroundings while resting on her eggs. With her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. And that was the winner, ladies and gentlemen. See, I want to talk about the peace this morning that surpasses all understanding. The peace that's in our lives, or that should be in our lives. But many times we don't experience it. And many times we know that there's a storm raging, maybe right outside of us or right inside of us. I don't know where the storm is. The storm could sometimes be still coming. The question I want to ask, you know, this calm that we talk about, this peace, is it before the storm? Is it the calm after the storm? Or is it the calm in the storm? It seems like there's a calm and a storm in our lives. And this time of year is actually supposed to be a time of peace, isn't it so? The Prince of Peace came and we celebrate that, but is it really a time of peace, this time of the year? We hear so many disasters happening at this time of the year. We hear fires, we hear of earthquakes, we hear of tsunamis, we hear of so many road deaths because obviously there's just so many more people on the road, but suicide, depression, is it really a time of peace? And even in our lives, when we look back at the end of the year, we sort of just want to just relax because it's been such a stormy time and it could be or it could not be. It doesn't matter, but there's one who's come, the Prince of Peace, to give us this place where it doesn't matter whether the torrents are rushing right past you or they're still coming. He wants to bring us peace. Peace is defined as follows. It's defined as prosperity. It's defined as rest, as quietness, or to set at one again. It's very similar to the definition of salvation. which includes health and total well-being. The definition of salvation and the definition of peace is very much the same. That's why it's called the gospel of peace, the gospel of salvation. Jesus Christ came to bring peace to these storms in our lives. So the question I want to ask this morning for each of you is, where do you need His peace? Where do we all need His peace? And I just wrote down six things here, six questions we can ask ourselves. Number one, we need His peace in our minds and in our thoughts. The question is your mind filled with past failures or disappointments? What is your mind filled with at the moment? Think of what your mind's filled with for this year. If you look back on this year, because all of us are going to do it, it's just a natural thing. At the end of the year, we look back on the year and we reflect and we see all the failures and all the good stuff. And we sort of have to evaluate. I don't think it's something that we have to try to do. I think we just do it. Isn't that so? So how's your mind and how are your thoughts at the moment? Is it filled with a lack of peace when you think about things or even at the moment? Then secondly, your emotions and your feelings. Do you feel angry? Do you feel bitter? Do you feel fearful? Do you feel frustrated with life at the moment or life how it was or maybe life how it's going to be next year? And number three, your will and your desires. Is your will in conflict with God's will, or do you feel like you really know what God's will is? You're doing His will? Are you maybe unsure about what God wants? And is what you want what He wants? How's your will and how's your desires? Do you need peace there perhaps? And then number four is your relationships. Do you let others rob you of inner peace? If you think about your relationships around you, do you possibly need peace in your relationships? Or maybe in your circumstances. Do you allow your circumstances to dictate your state of peace? And if you're really honest with yourself, if your circumstances are peaceful, then you're at peace. And if they're not, then you're not at peace. So how are your circumstances currently? And do you perhaps not need peace in your circumstances? You just need peace there in those first few, your mind and your emotions. And then in your body, are you strained from stress or agitation or nervousness? Do you perhaps need physical healing? Do you need peace in your body? I think all of us can say yes to at least one of those things, but we need peace somewhere. Amen. So I want to leave you guys with this thing. Are you P-E-A-C-E? That's how you spell peace, okay? It's not P-I-E-C-E, okay, for the Afrikaners. The English word for peace, yeah, in terms of not like a piece of cloth or a piece of something, it's vrede, okay? The peace. That's a pastor's understanding. That is the peace I'm talking about here now. P-E-A-C-E. So that's a little acronym that you can remember this holiday. And when things go wrong, you can remember these five things that I want to give you describing what this peace is. Number one, peace is a promise from the Father. And He's a good Father. Amen. Jesus said to His disciples at the end of His life in John 14, and if you read John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is about to leave and He's preparing His disciples, and it talks about the Holy Spirit. It talks about being plugged into His presence. John 15 is the vine. All of that, you can go and study that yourself. But it talks about His peace and His presence that He's leaving with them by His Spirit. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, He says. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Isn't that amazing to know that it doesn't matter what happens, Jesus is the one who gives peace. And He wants to give peace to each and every one of us because He's such a good Father. And you know what? It's not like He wants to give you peace. He's already given us peace. He's already given us His Son. So I'm just reminding you of stuff that is just amazing. You know, it's not like new revelation. It's simple stuff. But yet we so forget it when life gets tough and we're running around and trying to survive in this life, we just forget that it's a promise. We don't have to earn it. It's a promise. He said, I'm leaving it with you. So He promised to give His disciples His peace, and He gave it to him by His Holy Spirit, because this passage is talking about the Holy Spirit. And it's in total contrast to the world. Isn't that amazing how we seek peace in our circumstances or in our material stuff or in our possessions, or even in people in our lives? We seek peace through the people around us. We seek peace through success. We even seek peace in ourselves. We just want to be happy and doing the will of God, and even that can be a false sense of peace. But it's not about what we're doing. It's not about what is around us. It's about what is in us. Amen. The peace that comes from the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. He wants to give it to us even this morning again. He just wants to remind us that He's already given it to us. John 16, at the end of John 16, says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I believe Jesus, when He speaks, it's so powerful. You know, when He spoke at the beginning, the world was created. And I believe that today He wants to speak peace to those who need peace in whichever area of your life. He just wants to speak to you, remind you that, you know what, this is what I gave at the beginning. And I want to give it to you again. I want to give it to you now. Remind you of it. Maybe you're under pressure. Maybe you have afflictions. Maybe you're feeling like full of anguish and you're carrying burdens, or you feel persecution even by being a Christian. You're experiencing trials and trouble. There's a lot of stuff that Jesus said there's not going to be a guarantee of a perfect life. It's not going to be just this blissful life where you're lying on the beach and you hear the voice of the doves and it's just awesome. Sometimes life is full of storms. In fact, Jesus warned us and He said, don't get offended now, because I didn't promise you this easy life. I said, I'm going to give you peace in the world. Amen. But I want us to think a little bit beyond ourselves. I want us to think this morning of the greatest gift that we can give someone is to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to give a lot of gifts and receive, I don't know who gives and receives gifts at this time of the year, but if you do, it's great to bless people and to receive. But the biggest blessing and the biggest thing we can give to people is the gift of knowing Jesus Christ. I mean, the peace of knowing Him. There's nothing else. No present that you open will fulfill you like Jesus Christ. It's a promise from the Father. And I want to say this morning that it's a promise that He wants to give to each one of us this morning. Not afresh, just remind us again. And maybe there are people here that you've never experienced the peace of Jesus Christ. Then it is going to be a new revelation for you. But for us who know Jesus, this is amazing. He doesn't have to do anything more. And so many times we want Jesus to die again on the cross because of all our sin and all our stuff. And Jesus is not going to die again. He's already died once for all, that all sin can be done away with. And therefore the promise of being in unity with Him, being in a relationship with Him. And I want to say this morning, He's overcome the world. Amen. He's overcome the challenges of this world in your life, in my life. It's a promise from the Father. Remember the P. Philippians 4, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's a command. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Love this translation. It exceeds anything. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The E stands for exceeds understanding. See, true peace is a supernatural thing. We cannot manufacture peace in our lives. We cannot try to have peace and convince ourselves we're at peace. It's only Christ that gives us peace. Amen. So if it's like same with salvation. You know, it's like if you know that you're saved. It's like you don't doubt. You're either saved or you're not. So you either have peace or you're not. You can't wonder. It's a supernatural thing. And you'll know it because it surpasses your understanding. Amen. That's why we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to give us this peace. We cannot say we're at peace because all the boxes are ticked. We're all fine. Then it's probably not peace, because then you're not being tested. Peace comes when you should be figuring out things and you should be thinking, but I should not be at peace. I'll never forget when our son Matthew was in hospital. He was about 8 or 9 months old. Went to hospital for a whole week because he had the RS virus. And he was really sick. He was throwing up a lot and we had to take him to hospital. And it was terrible to leave our son in the hospital. We couldn't sleep there. There's Zuid-Afrikaanse Hospital down in Pretoria. So we weren't allowed to sleep over there. I think we were allowed to, but it was better for him not to. And so it's challenging not to leave your son there and to wonder, 5 days, it's a long time. But I remember in that time just experiencing God's hand, and a lot of people obviously prayed for us. But it was like at the time you're supposed to be stressed, you're supposed to be worried, you're supposed to be fearful that maybe he's going to die or maybe he's not going to come out of this hospital the same as he left, in terms of it'll be worse, not better. But at the time, it was just God's peace was there. And you're supposed to be stressing. You're supposed to be freaking out. But you realize that it's going to exceed your understanding. You don't know why you've got peace, but you've just got peace because God is there. God has got this covered. True peace also guards our hearts and our minds. It's not this thing that's out there. It's truly in your heart and in your mind. You are at peace. It guards it. You don't think too much. You just let go. And you just realize when you live in Christ Jesus, you cannot control everything. Amen. In fact, no one on this earth can control everything. And if you're trying to control everything, you're going to have a very unpeaceful life. But if you realize Christ is in control and that you do not have to control everything, in fact, you must not control most things. And he says, don't worry. It's a command. Don't worry about what? About anything. It's tough, eh? Because we do worry about stuff. And then he says, don't only not worry. He says, you've got to pray about everything. So don't worry about anything and pray about everything. That's a challenge. And then he says, there's another key. Thank God. Thanksgiving and peace go hand in hand. Thankful people are people at peace because they realize where their lives are sourced in and where they come from. Jesus Christ exceeds understanding. Then the A. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It talks here about the God of peace. See, peace is who God is. Peace is an attribute of God. It's like God doesn't have to try to be at peace. God is at peace. God, the full Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit are so at peace with each other. They're so at peace within themselves. It's who God is, and it's who Christ is, and it's who the Holy Spirit is. Amen? That's why the gospel is the gospel of peace, because God brings peace wherever he comes. And that's why it's amazing. Jesus could sleep in this boat, and the storm can be how terrible, and he's just at peace because he knows he's in control. The Father is in control. And he can also bring that peace to the situation if he has to. He can subdue the wind and the waves, and he can just tell everything to just submit to him. But sometimes he can just tell us to submit to him, and then the storm will just come into perspective. When our lives are at peace with him, the storm doesn't matter anymore. It's interesting how Paul starts every one of his letters with grace to you and peace from God our Father. Amen. Every single letter he starts and he brings peace because, you know, this is who God is. God is a God of grace, but he's a God of peace. Peace to you through Father God. And he ends most of his letters with the same thing. I leave you with the peace of Christ because I don't understand why I've been called. I don't understand all the stuff, but I just know I serve a God of peace and a God of grace. And it's interesting that peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's an attribute of God. It's an attribute of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's who God is. So just, I want you to remember that this holiday. I want you to remember that for next year. I trust that all of us would walk in this peace. Not only this time when we're so-called celebrating peace and, you know, Christmas and all that. It's cool. But let's walk in this year or next year. Amen. So walk in this peace and knowing it's from God. God is at peace. God is a God of peace. And may he sanctify us. May he fulfill the stuff that he's called us to do. May he fulfill our salvation and complete our salvation. And then the fourth one, the C. Colossians 3 from the Amplified says, and let the peace, soul harmony which comes from Christ rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts. Let the peace from Christ rule in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ's one body you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. I want to say this morning, because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, because of the peace that he had to endure, in fact, the storm that he had to endure, because he went through the storm on the cross, because he went through the worst storm, we can choose to have this peace. In fact, Colossians 3 starts the following. This whole passage starts with, if then you were raised with Christ. Has anyone here been raised with Christ? see lots of heads nodding. If you've been raised with Christ, you know what? You can have peace. But you do need to choose that peace. Christ doesn't force His peace upon us. We still have to choose. It's the same with giving our lives to Him for the first time. We still have to choose. It says, let the peace rule in your heart. We can choose to have this peace. And that's why lots of people aren't at peace. And even people who know Christ. And that's what's sad, I think, as Christians. Looking at myself as well. And I fall short as well. Because why do we stress so much about stuff? Why do we worry? Why do we not have peace? I just know that the Christ has done it for us, and He's gone through the worst. And you know, looking at the whole thing of the boat there and the storm that He had to go through, you know, or that they were going through, you know, He went through a storm and He had to wake His disciples up. He had to wake them up, and when He was going through His storm, He wanted them to come into His boat, and He said, can't you watch with me for 1 hour? Can't you pray? And guess what? They failed Him. But you know, they woke Him up when they were in a storm, just a little storm compared to His big storm that He had to face. But the reason He could tell those waves and those wind and everything to obey Him is because He was about to go through the biggest storm of His life. He was about to die for the sins of the world, and no one was there with Him. Even the Father deserted Him, and He chose the way of the storm. He chose to go through that storm so that we can have peace. Amen. Isn't that great news? The gospel. Jesus has done it for us, and therefore we can choose to have this peace. We can choose to walk in peace, and it doesn't matter what the storm comes, because He's overcome the biggest storm, and the biggest storm is death itself, the fear of death. You know, when we think of dying, we think of like, and we see so many people dying, you know, you see accidents and tragedies, it's terrible, then you suddenly life comes into perspective again. This year we heard of a little kid, you know, in Caitlin's school that her mother died, and you think of that kid like without a mother, and you just think, oh, you know, she's 5 years or 4 years old and doesn't have a mother. You think about the father, you think of the worst stuff. You think of death, it's just the worst, and it just makes you feel, oh, death is just so terrible. Then you think that Christ overcame the worst of the worst storms, death itself. Then we don't have to fear death, and we can just choose and know when we've made that choice, and we just surrender and we give it over to Him, and we start to be thankful and we start to give praise to God. It ends here with be thankful. It says, and be thankful. So once again, I think you can see your peace and thanksgiving just seem to go hand in hand. You and I can choose His peace. Not because of what we have done or what we deserve, because we don't deserve it. He's given it to us. Which leads to my last point. Sorry, another scripture on the choice. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Isn't that amazing? Isaiah 26. Its inclination and its character, your mind has to be focused on Christ, not on yourself or your circumstances. Just focus your mind on Him, and you know what? Peace comes. So in a way, you don't have to choose peace. You just choose the Prince of Peace. You choose Christ. You focus your mind on Christ, and peace comes. Because He commits Himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. That's the one whose mind is focused. He trusts in God. Peace starts in the mind. And it's going to spread to every other area of our lives. And the last one, and this is the best of all. Tell someone next to you, the best is for last. And that's the E. Another E word that you can put there is eternal. It's everlasting. It's eternal. Ezekiel 37, the covenant that the prophet Ezekiel was talking about that was to come for the people of God. He says, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. And it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them. I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. Isn't that great? But Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to come and live in you. God says, I want to come and live in you. I want to multiply you and establish you. You know what? I'm so in love with you. I so love you that I want to trust you with my presence. I'm going to establish my temple of holiness inside of you. It comes from this covenant of peace that He has made with us. I want to say true peace is an everlasting covenant. It's a promise. He will set His sanctuary, His holy dwelling place in their midst. Today our bodies are temples of His holy presence. Amen. Isn't that great? That you carry the Holy Spirit, you carry the sanctuary in your midst. And wherever you go, you know what? You can bring that peace. Because it's not yours, it's Christ. And people can say, but what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have this everlasting peace that you seem to have? I remember seeing people in my res in Stellenbosch before I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I knew God, but I had such an intellectual relationship with God. And I could see these guys walking around this res, and they were weird people, but they were just amazingly peaceful people. Now, you know, you strive and you just do something. You see these guys and there's joy in their lives. There's just such a sense of, I want to be like this. It's that everlasting peace that comes in, and there's a holy dwelling place. God makes his tabernacle in us. He lives with us and dwells with us ever, forever and ever and ever. It's everlasting peace. Isn't Christ good? Isn't God good this morning? My last scripture this morning, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Hallelujah. This should be good news for us this morning, because it's not going to end at the end of 2016. It's not going to end next year. It's not going to end anytime soon. Because eternity is eternity. Christ's reign of peace has come, and he's going to establish his throne. He has established his throne already, because he's God and he's righteous and he's just. I don't know where you are this morning, but I want to say this morning, unto you a child has been born. And this is written to people who still have to look forward to the coming of Christ. It's written before Christ came, but I want to say we are living where Christ has already come. Christ has already been given. The government is already upon his shoulder, and sometimes it doesn't look like that. When we look at our government or the governments of the nations, we wonder, like, how is Christ's government ruling? But I want to say the word says he's starting to rule and reign. His kingdom is being established even as we speak. His kingdom is being extended to various places. It's so wonderful this morning. We've got a team of people going to Bultfontein to minister the good news of Jesus there. The God's kingdom is being extended to the ends of the earth. There's people on missions right now. There's people extending the kingdom. And I want to say, we don't have to go very far. We can just go this morning. Amen. And go to our families this holiday, and go to our friends, and go to connect with different people that you may not connect with normally, and just tell them, you know what? There's an everlasting peace that is not going to end. And it's not a thing, it's not an institution, it's nothing but one name that has died for the sins of the world, Jesus Christ. I think if we have this on our lips, you know what? More people will come to Christ, amen. More people get saved. More people be drawn to the good news of the gospel if we realize that unto us a child has already been born. And the increase of his government and peace is already happening. And he's the awesome Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Because he went through the greatest storm to fear, to conquer fear and to conquer death and to conquer all the stuff. And he came to establish a reign of peace. And it starts with you and with me. Amen. The kingdom starts inside each and every one of us. I want to say this morning, God's peace is a promise from the Father. His peace exceeds understanding. His peace is an attribute of who he is. His peace is a choice that we can make. And when you've made that choice, you can live in that peace forever and ever and ever and ever. Let's close our eyes. Jesus, I just ask you right now, Lord, to just come and reveal to all of us, Lord, myself included, just who you are, Lord. And what your reign of peace really means, Lord, that even when the storms surround us, Lord, even when the boats seem to be filling, God, even when we, like those disciples, so many times we can't even swim and we're so afraid. We're supposed to be so used to the water, and we're supposed to be so comfortable with being in a boat, and so many of us are so comfortable with certain things, but Lord, our boats feel rocked many times, Lord. But show us, Lord, even in the midst of our worlds being rocked and our nation being rocked and the nations of the world being shaken, show us, Lord, what it means To be like that bird in that picture. Closing its eyes and just being in this incredible place of peace. Show us, Lord, that it's your promise, God. I thank you, Lord, this morning that it's your promise. It's a promise from the heart of a good, good Father. It's a gift of peace, and it came in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's a gift from you. It's a promise, Lord. And so we're sorry this morning. So many times we just don't receive it. We want to work out our own lives and try to figure out our own lives, Lord, and you come to give us the gift of peace. And we're sorry, Lord, for not accepting this covenant many times. We make covenant with you, and then we just neglect, Lord, the fact that you want to bring peace to our storms, Lord, because we cannot. We try to work it out, Lord, but you say in your word that it exceeds our understanding. We cannot fathom it, Lord. It's a mystery. And Lord, help us to surrender to that place of peace, that exceeding, abundant, supernatural peace, Lord. Thank you that it's who you are. Thank you that it's your attribute, Lord. It's you are at peace. You are a God of peace. You are peace itself, Lord. Help us this morning to make a choice in every area of our lives. There where we don't have peace, Lord, help us to be sensitive to where you want to bring peace. Even right now, Lord, physical bodies, Lord, that need to be healed, God. Even minds, Lord, and emotions, Lord, are all over the place. Thank you. Lord, when people leave here and when we all leave this place, Lord, that we'll have everlasting peace, God. And even when we try to, when we lose our peace due to bad choices or due to whatever, Lord, thank you that you remind us that I just want to bring peace to you, my son, my daughter. I just want to bring peace. Because it's a peace that never ends, and I'm not shaken by the storms. I'm not shaken. It's an everlasting peace. Because I've always been at peace, even since the beginning, even when sin came in. I'm not disappointed. I'm not shaken, says the Lord. I've made plans for the sin of the world. I've made plans to redeem my people. So I just want you to receive the peace of God. If it's in your mind or in your body or wherever, just focus on Jesus right now. Just receive his peace. I believe he wants to give people peace right now in your will, your desires, your relationships, circumstances around you. For some of us, he wants to calm the storm. For some of us, he wants to calm the storm in our minds. Because the storm in the circumstances is actually small, says the Lord. Your circumstances seem bigger. Just feel there's some people here. Your circumstances seem so big, and it seems like that's the storm that he wants to calm. And the Lord says this morning, he's not going to calm that storm. He's going to calm the storm in your mind. Just surrender to him this morning. Allow Jesus to come and touch you right now, because he's so much greater than even our distractions this morning. He wants to come and just surprise us, because he's a good God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your peace right in this place, Lord. Since some of you haven't experienced peace for such a long time, and you remember when you first came to Christ, you had this incredible time of just being at peace, and God is saying, just wants you to just experience that again. It seems like you're trying to do it, and God says, don't try, just give it to me. I'm here for you. I'm here with you. That all fear fades away now, Lord. Even fear of death. Some people still fear death, Lord. And we still want to do so many things. We still want to accomplish so many things, Lord. And if we have to die now, it'll be so disappointing, Lord. But thank you that even that fear just leaves now in Jesus' name. Thank you that we can live every day, Lord, at such peace, Lord. That, Lord, we've forgiven everyone we need to forgive, Lord. We've made right with everyone we need to make right with, Lord. That we can go in peace, Lord. That we don't have to be caught unawares, Lord. When our lives come to an end, Lord, we don't have to just try to do a few things before we go to heaven, Lord. Just to make sure, Lord. Thank you that even every day of our lives, Lord, even if we're going to live for so many years, Lord, that every day will be a day of peace that starts with peace and that ends with peace, Lord. And pray for someone here that cannot sleep, Lord. I pray that at night when they lay their head on the pillow, God, that they will sleep peacefully. I speak peace to the storm, Lord. For someone who cannot sleep here this morning, thank you, Lord, that tonight they will sleep well in Jesus' name. Is there anyone here that can identify with that for the sleeping, that you struggle to go to sleep? Just want to pray for you. You don't have to come forward. Just raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Just want to say to you, you can sleep peacefully tonight. Amen. Just receive it. Just receive it. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can just rest in you, Lord. Anyone else has a word or just an encouragement or a testimony, welcome to come and share. But let's just close our eyes and just Harold's going to minister to us. Just enjoy God's presence here. Amen. Don't have to rush off now. Let's just enjoy His presence.
God just told me there's someone in church today that's heart is so burdened and so hard towards people and even maybe God. I just want to pray for you. Lord, I just thank you, Abba Father, and I praise you, Abba Father, for this person, Abba Father. I praise you for their life, Abba Father. Abba Father, and I just pray and I come and set their heart free, Abba Father. Yes, Abba Father, I pray for peace, Abba Father, to peace that surpasses all understanding, Abba Father. Now, Lord, I just pray, Abba Father, that they can see the truth, Abba Father, that you can remove the veil from their eyes, Abba Father, that they can see the truth, Abba Father. Yes, Abba Father, that they can experience your love, Abba Father. Not false love, Abba Father, not that false love of the world, Abba Father, but that they can experience your love, Abba Father. Thank you, Abba Father.
I also feel there's someone here that's just, God has really called you to wrestle with Him. And you're sort of in a time of wrestling with the Lord. But the Lord really says, just know that my peace is there. It's not the striving and you trying to hear from God and you're trying to get a word for next year or direction or whatever it is. Just surrender to His peace. But it's a good thing. You're not, God has said you must wrestle with Him. And But his peace is there. And if you're out of that place of peace, just he wants you to come back to that place of peace. Don't strive with the Lord. Just seek him. Seek him earnestly. And I believe you really called for the prophetic and you called for to break new ground. But the Lord just says, don't strive. Just be at peace. Just be at peace. Just receive his peace. Father, I just thank you that you're going to restore relationships as well, Lord, this holiday with family, Lord, that are difficult or even resisting your spirit, God. I thank you this holiday, Lord, that you use us, Lord, as your people, Lord, your called and special and chosen people that have been called out of darkness into light. You're going to use us to bring this peace, God, to relationships and to families, Lord, that are also striving and that are so angry and bitter, and just even with the nation and with the government and with stuff that's happening, Lord. I thank you that you use us, Lord, and thank you for this word, Lord, that you've given us. I pray right now for our nation, Lord. I pray that we will pray for this country, Lord, because we know, Lord, that we will be at peace when the city has peace, God. We pray for Bloemfontein, Lord. We pray for the peace of Bloemfontein, God. We pray for the peace of South Africa, Lord. We pray also for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. The peace of Israel, Lord. Because we know, Lord, that your word says that in its peace we will have peace, Lord. When we pray for the cities that we represent, God, I pray for towns that we are going to visit this holiday, Lord. Pray that we will bring peace, Lord, to people that we minister to, people that we talk to and just love on, Lord. Thank you that we can bring the gospel of peace, God. Thank you that you deliver us from this place of fear and striving, Lord. And God, thank you, Jesus, that we can live lives of peace and not try to bring peace, Lord, but just be at peace with you, Lord, with ourselves and with our relationships. Thank you for doing that in my life this year, Lord. Thank you for still continuing to do it, Lord, but thank you that, Lord, the storms are not the problem, God. Many times our minds and our fears, God, are so getting the better of us. But this morning we thank you, Prince of Peace, that you come, Lord. Start with us, Lord, and help us to also spread this good news, Lord. As you reveal it to us, help us to bring that same gospel to other people, Lord. That you are the bringer of peace. We cannot bring peace, God. We cannot speak to storms like you can, Lord. So thank you that you speak to our storms now and you say, peace, be still. In Jesus' name. You're welcome to just continue in the presence of the Lord. Just Harold will just continue to minister to us. If you need to go, then please go. But otherwise, drink some coffee with us, fellowship with us. We'd love to get to know you. The kids will be back soon. But God bless you guys. Have a wonderful holiday. Have a time of rest, a time of peace. If you need prayer, love to pray with you specifically. But otherwise, thanks for coming this morning. And we're so excited to see you guys all next year. Ready for an awesome 2017. So have a great time with family and friends. God bless you. But if you need prayer, just come forward. Otherwise, have a great day. In Jesus' name.